The following podcast may contain mature themes and coarse language. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to episode 8 of the No Fear Project podcast. I'm your host, Pete. We were scheduled to talk about parenting fears when the COVID-19 crisis hit. These stories are amazing, and while fear is definitely at the center of the topic, resilience and hope are the real standouts. Today, we are going to kick off this abbreviated series with an interview I did with Rhonda Kamenek right as the pandemic started to change our everyday lives. I'll let Rhonda introduce herself and give her background. You will not want to miss it, because besides being a parent, Rhonda works in healthcare and shares many insights. This was recorded several weeks ago, so while things may have changed, the value of what she had to say only grows. We will get to that interview right after a quick word from our sponsor, Silver Fox Athletics. If you are anything like me, you have big goals. I really wanted to become a better runner, and you guessed it, fear was stopping me. I needed a running coach. Enter Coach Andy and Silver Fox Athletics. I started working with Coach Andy, and he produced the perfect customized training plan. His plan and support were just what I needed. The fear started melting away instantly. I ended up with a shiny new personal record in the half marathon, and even conquered my biggest running fear of all, the 26.2-mile marathon. Coach Andy specializes in those middle and back-of-the-pack runners like me, and even those that have never run much. Get more information about Silver Fox Athletics at silverfoxathletics.org. Also, follow Silver Fox Athletics on Instagram. While you are there, click book to get your free initial consultation with Coach Andy. Make sure to tell them you heard about Silver Fox on the No Fear Project. Okay, we're coming over to have a little discussion with Rhonda Kamenek. Tell us a little bit about yourself and welcome to the No Fear Project.
Sure, thanks for having me. Yep, my name is Rhonda. I am a mom, first of all, of two kids. I have a just turned 16-year-old who's a senior in high school. And then I have an almost 10-year-old who's in fourth grade. I live in Wisconsin. I am a nurse by degree, and I no longer work in patient care. I actually work in healthcare leadership for a large healthcare organization here in Wisconsin.
Well, right now, given everything that's going on with the COVID-19 pandemic, you've kind of got two big things, right? I'm sure with the kids, and did the school get canceled for them?
Yeah. So we found out last week Friday, which, like I said, was my son turned 16 last week Friday, and we found out at about 1 o'clock Friday afternoon that they were canceling school here until the 16th of April. So my son is a very academic person. He loves school. So that was not what he wanted to hear on his 16th birthday. So it was kind of a big shock for me. Even working in healthcare, and as much as I know, I was surprised at the length of time. And I think maybe too, because I work in healthcare, I talk about this a lot with my friends who are nurses and physicians. In healthcare, we're very much like with our kids and our spouses, if you're not bleeding, you're fine. We see much more serious things, right? So we're kind of the worst patients. We say that a lot. So at that point last week, we weren't having crazy alarms in the healthcare industry. We were hearing it because we were hearing it from little pockets. But Friday was really the first day even we were really looking at, should we be sending so I manage a group of nurses, and should we be sending the nurses who can home remote, and should we be sending some of our billing staff home remote. And as we were talking about that, that's when I got the notice that schools were being canceled. And while my son is very sad, my daughter was very excited that they were doing that. But we had already saw, I mean, I think everybody saw last week that kind of cascade of things starting to be canceled. And if we look back a week ago, I keep thinking about this. Last Wednesday, my husband and I went to a Lumineers concert at the Fiserv Forum. 10,000, that's our MBA facility, 10,000 people. And we had a discussion before we went. My husband says, do you want to cancel? Should we not go? And I was like, I think it's fine. And I did have this feeling sitting there, this weird, like, out of body. Could this be the last big thing we do for a while? Could this be the last big thing? And it was just this weird feeling. I had no idea it would get to this at all. But now I just keep looking back to that to think how fast things have changed. And we started to see one of the things that I think I want to especially talk about is regards to kids and to parenting. The thing that I started to really hit home a lot was stuff for the kids started to cancel before school even canceled. Big things. My son is on the robotics team. And his first robotics championship was supposed to be this weekend. And it was going to be his last one. He's a senior. And that canceled on Thursday. And I got the email and, like, I started to cry. And it was just, like, this gut reaction because it wasn't – I was sad for him because I knew that this was – you're a senior. And so when you're a senior, it's, like, all those things, right, all those last and all those cool things, because now you're the person who's, you know, you're kind of the head person and you get to do all the cool stuff. And so it just broke my heart a little bit for him that he was going to miss that. And so I thought, it's okay. You know, in the end, it's for the greater good. And then it did snowball really quickly. My daughter is a competitive dancer. She had a big dance competition that was supposed to be last weekend that canceled. And it was just like everything started canceling and we're just seeing it. And it was like, my son also had solo and ensemble, his solo and ensemble canceled. And it just kept going. And it was like I have a Garmin because I run and it also, the emails come to it. And it was, I kid you not, like it was vibrating every 15 minutes with some new thing that was canceling. And we were stunned. And it was having to tell the kids about that, I think was my hardest piece of this last week, was saying, you know, this is canceled. Your dance is canceled. Solo ensemble canceled. You know, they closed my daughter's dance studio for 4 weeks too. And I think that's been one of the hardest parts for me is having to, be the strong person so that they don't see like that I'm upset about it. And so I think that's been a piece I don't know that I've seen a lot of people talk about because there's a lot of like immediate needs, right? There's like, we got to make sure that we have food and toilet paper and all that other stuff. But the whole idea of like some of the things that our kids are now missing out on, I don't know. I think we haven't processed a lot of stuff yet. But that's one of the things I've kind of felt really acutely.
Do you think the kids are thinking that way right away?
I don't think so, which is really crazy because I thought, like when I told my daughter, okay, so at first they were like, on Friday, they said, we're still having this dance competition in the morning. And then they said, but you can only bring one parent and you come in, you dance, you leave. And so they were changing a lot of stuff, but by Friday afternoon, they had said, no, we've decided to cancel. And so when I had to tell my daughter, I thought she was going to be devastated. And she was like, okay. And it was just, okay, it's canceled. It is, you know, she wasn't upset. I would say she's one of the people who she has anxiety, but she kind of holds it in, right? Like she's one of like, yep, it's all good. It's fine. So I'm right now trying to figure out if she really is fine or if we're going to have a, you know, maybe a meltdown later, which could absolutely happen. And we're here, so we'll be able to, you know, deal with it. But we had a conversation about it this weekend. And I said, are you angry? And he said, you know, I'm just mostly annoyed. I'm annoyed that they're canceling all this stuff and I'm going to miss it. I'm annoyed that I'm not going to get to do those things. And so I thought that was really interesting because I don't like to use the word devastated, but I was just really, really sad just that they were going to miss out on these things. They've worked really hard. Like my daughter started dancing these routines that they're doing last June. And now it looks like all that they may never come to fruition because of this. And the same with Alex, that's my son with their robotics team. They literally, you have one chance and it's gone. And I just think that they're more resilient than adults are. They really are. I think they are more, can really look at it in a bigger picture way than we can. And it's impressive to me, but it's also one of those things where I'm trying to monitor their feelings and everything about the situation as the week has progressed, because I am a little bit worried that they're internalizing things, or as they're now sitting at home and doing virtual school, that they're thinking about this stuff. And as time goes on, you know, not interacting with friends, that, you know, it's going to affect their mental health and in ways that are going to be hard to deal with. I said to my son yesterday, I'm like, are you okay? Are you feeling sad? Are you, you know, because it's hard to tell the difference of like a teenager and like a teenager under quarantine from a pandemic. So, right. So I just, you know, I've been really trying to weigh those things. I did say this to my son yesterday, because I wanted to open it up if he wanted to express stuff. I said, yeah, did you watch the principal's video yesterday? So our principal sent a video and he was talking about everything that was going on, the virtual schooling. And then he said, I just want you seniors to know you will graduate on time. But then he went on to say, but it might not be in the way that you expect it. I lost it. Like, I started crying because you work really hard, right? And he's worked really hard to graduate. I mean, that is the culmination of all of everything you do as a kid is graduation. It's such an amazing time. He has his cap and his gown. He picked them up the week before last and they're hanging in his bedroom. And I look at it and I'm like, he might not wear those because of this. We really have no idea right now. And so he said, so we did talk about it. I said, you know, how do you feel about that? And he was like, okay. He didn't say anything. And then he made this is my son's sense of humor and I do love it. He said, well, I guess we could just, you know, have it online and press F to walk down the aisle to collect your diploma. And we laughed because it really was funny, because it's like, you have to laugh at it. I think that's a really key piece, because it might be that way. We might have a virtual graduation. We really have no clue right now. But I think as the days go on, I think we'll know more. And I think it's one of those things. I think it's monitoring where are they at in their headspace? I think right now I'm probably getting on their nerves. Like, hey, are you okay? Are you doing okay? I sound like Nurse Rhonda. But I just want to make sure that this isn't causing, you know, kind of that mental health, anxiety, depression, all those things, because I'm feeling all those things. I really am. And I just want to make sure that if they are, that I can help them through it. But right now they seem like they're very, very resilient, and kind of this is a novel thing, right? Like, it's a novel disease. It's a novel thing to be schooled from home on your computer when mom and dad are also here. So I think that might be part of it too, as we settle into it.
Yeah, you've brought up a lot of really good things. I've got some questions, but I'll relay a quick story that kind of jives with what you're saying. My older daughter, Lily, is graduating eighth grade this year. And she said, I'm sad, right? Because it's a lot of lasts in her life at that age before you go into high school. And you've got the eighth grade graduation that is tenuous at best, right? You've got, she's in competitive cheer. This would be her last piece before going to high school and hopefully cheering there. and you have your last eighth grade dance and things like that. So she's relayed that she's sad about those things. But again, I think that the resiliency, like you talked about, is pretty amazing. One of the things that I was wondering about, do you think that your kids have a sense of your unease and are trying to hold things back because of that? Do you think they sense it maybe?
I think that's a great question. I would say probably I did have on Monday, I had what I would call a mom moment. My kids have a decent age gap, but according to my friends, it doesn't matter. They could be a year apart or 8 years apart. It doesn't really matter. But they were already, I mean, we are talking, it is 7:30 Monday morning, day one, and they're bickering, right? And it's mostly like just poking at each other. And I lost it. I was like full on mom yelling voice. Everyone get in here. Listen right now. This cannot happen. We are in this house for at least the next 4 weeks. I have no idea what's going on. And you could just tell their eyes were like, oh, she's serious. And so I did lose it. And I think that was like my big lose it day, was just like, because I had that already on Monday. I had calls because I'm trying to get my staff, you know, home remote, and I had all these calls because all the IT stuff wasn't working. And so I was already starting to feel overwhelmed from the work side of things. And so then to all of a sudden already hear them starting to on each other, I was like, no, we can't have this. So I think they probably do know that I, especially with work early in the week, I was feeling pretty overwhelmed. So I don't know that they're holding back. I think they're both pretty good about being honest about their feelings. I would say especially my son, he's always, it's one thing that is amazing about him, is he's very honest and truthful. And so I definitely feel he probably isn't. My daughter, on the other hand, with her anxiety, does hold things back. And I've been trying to spend more time with her, and I do lead a really busy life. I work full time. I commute. I don't always have as much time as I'd like. And so yesterday she was doing her assignment for PE, and it was some kind of video from YouTube to do. And she's like, hey, do you want to do it with me? I'm like, okay. And on any normal day, I would have been like, no, I don't have time, but all I have is time. So I said, okay, let's do it. And so it did. We were able to, just in those interactions, I think, I've been able to kind of feel her out a little bit more. And I've seen this, you know, I mean, who can stay off of social media right now, right? It's all over the place. And I've seen this thing where they're like, people have said, let this be a time that your kids remember, not as something traumatic, but as something that was where they stayed up late, or they had fun, or they did something that they'd never done with you. And so I'm trying to take that to heart, because we have to have a balance. Like, you still do need to go to bed and get some sleep, because you are going to school tomorrow on your computer. And it's fairly structured what our district is set up. But at the same time, I want to give you, like, this is something that's completely different, and this is something that's completely unheard of. So I want to try to balance that. So I think that they're probably being fairly open, but like I said, maybe my daughter not as much. And I did have, I'm going to be completely honest, on Wednesday I had a really rough day. I was feeling overwhelmed with work. I was feeling just the thought of the whole idea of not being able to have all the interactions that I do, outside of this house for the foreseeable future. And I think I was thinking about graduation and all that stuff. And after we had a town hall for work related to COVID-19, after that, I sat on my bed and I pulled on my weighted blanket. And I think I sat there for like an hour. I laid down and I didn't sleep, but I just kind of was trying to relax to kind of clear my head and say, I was kind of at the overload point. And I knew I was, and I knew that interacting with anybody at this point wasn't going to be a good idea. And my husband came into the room and he was like, are you okay? And I said, I'm just tired. He's like, well, you just stay here. You lay down, rest. He went to run on the treadmill and I was like, no, I know I got to get up. And he's like, why? You're fine. Just rest. And that was probably the best thing that I could have done. And like, if I could give anybody any advice right now, it's to give yourself the grace as a parent, as a person, to take that time out and just do nothing. And I mean, I literally wasn't doing anything. I wasn't reading. I wasn't on my phone. I just laid there and just to kind of clear it out so that I don't carry everything that I'm feeling inside back out to the kids. And I think that is, that helped a lot, because Wednesday was really rough for me. Yesterday was a much better day and today was even better. And I think it's just making sure, give yourself that grace to feel not the best, because nobody's going to feel the best. And now we're at a point where we're always on, right? I mean, our kids are here 24/7. Our spouses are here 24/7. So we're always on. When's our time off, right? Like I usually bowl on Wednesdays with a group of awesome ladies. I'm not going out and bowling. I'm not even going to the grocery store to Starbucks, right? So when is that kind of separation from, you know, to be like on your own? So I think that that's my biggest piece of advice, and something, the thing I learned this week is really to take time for yourself, even if it's to do nothing, but basically curl up in a ball. And that's kind of what I did.
Yeah, that's good advice. I fully agree with it. It's difficult for us because, you know, thinking about kids and thinking about us and that hour that you spent, the first instinct you have is, I got to get up. Time's ticking. And I wonder if it's a little bit of the difference in how time is perceived by adults and by children that allows them to look at this more as a moment in time, even if it's a month. Because a month to us is an eternity as an adult, but to a kid, it's a month. Yeah, you know, they just see time differently than we do. And I'm wondering if that's not part of it too.
That's a great point, because you're right. I mean, for me, it's like, and I think too, because I'm always so busy. Like, I don't have a sermon. I'm also 3 classes from finishing my master's degree. And it's like, I should be writing a paper, or I should be doing this. And I have to run to the next stop and take this kid to here. And all of a sudden there isn't that. And so I also think it's unspooling all of a very different, right, lifestyle. And it is, the kids are just, meh. It's okay. It's the things that annoy us about them when we're trying to get out the door and they're like, we're like, hey, we should have left 5 minutes ago, and they don't have socks on. But you're right. It's probably that kind of in, you know, how they are, that's helping them cope with it better than adults.
What you just said just made me think, when you have a busy life, the order of things that need to happen set your priorities for you. When you have this kind of almost infinite time, right, in a way, because it seems like so much, even though the same amount of time in the day, these days are much different when you're at home and you don't have those priorities set for you. I think our brain isn't used to that all the time, and it's tough for us to adjust and set those priorities for ourselves. I'm really struggling myself with this, right? Just trying to make podcasts and I mean, that was what No Fear Friday was about. I don't need to rehash that. but that's where I'm struggling, is life typically sets my priorities for me and what order I need to do them in. That's gone, at least mm-hmm. for the time being. And here in Illinois, we're about to, as we record, we're probably 20 minutes away from shelter in place for some period of time, you know, anywhere from 15 days to 30. We're not sure yet. I appreciate your viewpoint, because it's helped me kind of even now see where I'm struggling and why. How is this tied in, and how do you view COVID-19 from a professional perspective, and how are you balancing that?
So we started hearing about COVID about a few weeks ago in at work. We were really talking in a more generalized kind of, hey, there's this virus that's out there, you know, China, travel. And so there was some talk about that. There was talk about different, you know, travel bans and just a lot of things that were going on. But we all lived through H1N1. And while it was not great, it wasn't, we were like, we can handle this. We have this. We're good. And as the time started passing, we started really to increase hearing some of the stuff that was coming out of Europe and Italy. And I think that's when we started hearing friends or physicians who we were over in Europe were talking to each other. And so we started to hear some more things that were worrying us. And I know the organization started kind of ramping up. And as a person, as a nurse, I'll be honest, I didn't get real excited about it because I was an oncology nurse, so I took care of cancer patients when I was on the front lines. And it's, you know, you see a lot of stuff. So when something's coming and they're like, oh, it's like the flu, I was like, well, I'm not really worried about this. Both of my kids had influenza B a month ago. They're fine. It sucked for a few days, but, you know, not really worried. And in the kind of like personal side in the nursing community, we all kind of had discussions around it and talked about, you know, people were having trips and should they still go on their trips? And it was like, oh yeah, it's fine. And it really very quickly had, kind of, like I said, over the course of last week, really started to be an issue. On Monday of last week, which was, I don't know, whatever, like the 6th or the 7th, is when we really started having some concern and we started having more internal conversations. And that was when stuff started canceling. And I think I started doing more research, and I'm one of those people who loves research. I want to see all the clinical journals. And so I was just reading all of what I would consider valid things. I'm, you know, not BuzzFeed, but real academic writings. And that's when I started realizing that this was something we probably should be worried about, and that I maybe shouldn't have went to that concert on Wednesday. I think from Wednesday night to Thursday night is when I had that shift last week, and which is crazy. It was a big shift for me. But I read a lot of stuff. And then, Friday and Saturday, I heard from my own pediatrician who takes care of my kids. And all of a sudden I was hearing from my friends who are physicians, who, like I said, healthcare professionals are very bad about their own health. When they were saying, no, we have to stay at home. The kids have to stay at home. They can't be going to friends' houses. They have to stay at home. I knew it was serious because I knew that these were people I trust. And these are also people who I knew were not, you know, alarmists. This is something real and, really hit home. And that's this weekend. I really, you know, we had a lot of talks. I talked to my parents, I talked to, you know, friends, and we really were, hey, this isn't anything to fool with. I'm not taking chances. I have the ability. I'm working from home. Our organization sent everybody who could mandatorily home to work remote. My husband works remote already. The kids are home. There's no reason for us, to have to go out and cause any risk. So I certainly am at the perspective of this is something that we need to do to hopefully contain. I'm slightly obsessive about checking the numbers on, where are we at on the DHS Wisconsin site every 2 o'clock every day when they post the new numbers, because I'm really looking to see like where we're at. I think the hardest part to wrap our minds around is when, you know, there's a lot of political stuff around this, which drives me crazy, because when we're done with this whole thing, the best thing that will happen is that we say we overreacted. but we'll never know. Because if we really did overreact, how will we know? It could just be that we reacted the right amount and we prevented a mass casualty. We won't know, and that's okay. But the best outcome is that we feel like we overreacted because nothing happens, or not nothing, but that there's really a significant, shift from what the possibilities could be. So I'm on board with everything we're doing. I think that it's very weird because I had to get groceries yesterday. We were out of milk and I ran to Aldi's. And I was just surprised that there seemed to be a lot of like what I consider just like a normal feeling. There was a normal amount of people in the grocery store. There was a normal amount of people on the road at 1 p.m. And so I just thought it was weird. I'm thinking like, are people taking this seriously? When you're in your house, you can't really tell, right? You don't know how many people are out and around. So I'm hoping that everybody's taking it seriously enough that we can stop. And don't end up at, the Italy, because I think the stuff that we're seeing come out of there, their hospitals are overwrought, at capacity and more. And that's what we're trying to prevent.
Yeah. I mean, and they just surpassed China in terms of number of deaths, or at least what mm-hmm. China's reported. So that's scary stuff, for sure. One of my hopes coming out of this is that the kids who are going through this, this will be something they remember, and hopefully this will shift a few of them to want to help on how we shape responses in the future and getting this stuff in order. Cause I think that's been one of the tougher things is the disconnect, in terms of understanding the severity throughout the world. I'm not talking about the United States, and I'm not talking about politics. I think that there is just a disconnect on understanding the severity of this particular strain of virus, and we just weren't prepared globally. It is showing we were not prepared as a world for something like this, even though I'm pretty sure we all knew it was coming eventually. Until it's in your face, you just kind of keep going, well, eventually this probably will happen. So I hope that the kids today, just it kind of sticks with some of the smarter ones, and they can help figure it out. Do you have any fears around this now with your kids, and are you doing anything differently than maybe others might be because of the fact that you've got a little bit more knowledge and firsthand experience in the medical field?
I'm definitely not letting my children hang out with other children. I know that there's been a lot of talk about that in some of the groups that I'm part of on Facebook and just among my friends. There's a lot of teenagers that are mad at their parents because they're not letting them go out, but all their other friends are hanging out and it's only with a few people. It doesn't matter. I mean, there's been a million ways that infographics that have shown, if you have one person and one other person and they were exposed to another person, and it just snowballs. And so certainly, my kids are here at home and they're not hanging out with other kids. But I think we're doing the normal stuff. We're washing the hands and Lysoling everything. And I will admit, when I went to the grocery store yesterday, I was probably over paranoid and I got all my stuff. I put on my clothes. I zipped on when I went, and I had on some running clothes, and I had Lysol and hand sanitizer in my car. And so when I got into the car, I Lysol sprayed everything. And I wasn't the smartest. I didn't open the windows, and so I had this big cloud of Lysol in there. So now my lungs are very clear of any bacteria, apparently. Obviously I wouldn't do that on any kind of normal day. And so then I came home and I took off all the clothes that I wore to the grocery store, and I threw them directly in the washing machine, and I took a shower. And that maybe seems like over paranoid, but I just, for me, that it was, even if it did nothing, it was like the mental aspect. It was like the placebo effect, right? I want to make sure that, you know, we were really careful. This last weekend, we spent completely disinfecting the house. Lysol, you know, every kind of wipe and really just, you know, cleaning to the max. And so I was like, you know, we've been bringing in germs to this house for the last, you know, we've lived here a year and a half for the last year and a half. So there's germs everywhere. Let's just kill it off. We're going to just be us in this house. So that way we have less, like, any kind of less risk. And I mean, I'm certainly, you know, we know from the statistics we've seen, kids are less likely to have to get it, or possibly less likely to have symptoms or less likely to have severe symptoms. Maybe the reason they were not having positive tests on kids is because they're having very few symptoms and it's like a cold. So that makes sense. But it does seem from some of the early stuff that's coming out that they could be the people that are spreading it because they're getting it with very few, if any, symptoms. And so, I don't know that I'm necessarily worried that they'll get it. I'm not even necessarily worried that my husband and I will get it. I'm more worried just about, I mean, I think about the whole, like, all the financial stuff that's going to come out of this. That's a big worry for me. You know, and not necessarily for me. I have luckily a stable and steady job, but of everyone, all the people that I know and all the small businesses and the big businesses too. I think that piece of it is, it weighs on you. And that's, I've been having a lot of trouble sleeping. And those are the things that at 2 a.m, my mind can't shut off. And so I don't necessarily worry about the virus. And as it relates to like my kids and even, you know, my parents, certainly I would worry about it with them. Although I think I finally got them convinced to stay home. But I'm mostly worried about just the ramifications of all of this as we go forward as people, as a, you know, for me as a city, as a county, as a, you know, as a school, all those things, you know, what's going to happen if our kids can't go back to school this year? What's going to happen if, you know, one thing my son asked me is he's got his college picked out. He's accepted. He's, ready to go to school in the fall. He goes, do you think that I'll be able to start college in the fall? Like, that's a real fear because we just don't know right now. And, you know, you read some of these things and the time frames are longer than we even want to try to imagine. And so I think those are where my fears are, is all those things that are basically a result of this, a result of being quarantined, a result of being, you know, businesses not being open. It's fears around that.
Yeah, I'm with you. The economic fallout of this is going to be huge. And that's something we're going to examine in more depth in this podcast, because I think it's important to understand it. Mm-hmm. So thanks for all your time. What was there anything that I didn't ask about or you wanted to relay that we didn't get to?
I think the biggest thing is just, I think everyone, you know, I listened to your podcast from earlier today. I think that every single one of us, especially who are parents, need to give ourselves the grace and give ourselves that, like, hey, this is completely new to everyone. This is not going to be perfect. You know, I know that there's people out there who have their color-coded homeschool schedule already, and everybody's doing amazing, and this is so awesome, and I've always wanted to be home with my kids, and I get all this extra time. And so that makes those of us who maybe are not feeling that same thing feel even worse. And so I think we just all need to remember that this is really hard, and this is not normal, and it may never feel normal and good until we get back to, you know, going to school every day or going into work or whatever it is. So I think we have to let ourselves feel that and not feel bad, because I've seen so many friends who are amazing parents, amazing, you know, employees, and they're just feeling like they're failing at everything when that's how we're all feeling. And right now, I think the idea is we survive and get through these tough times, and not, we don't have to be the, like, I get the shining gold star. We just have to be the, like, I crossed the finish line. And so I think that would be my biggest message, because I'm trying to, and I'll be honest, I'm horrible at taking my own advice. So if I say it more, hopefully I'll believe it more. But I've seen some posts from friends on Facebook this last few days that just kind of break my heart, because we're all feeling it. And everybody chimes in and says, hey, you're great, you're doing great. But I think it's really hard when you're in the trenches. But that's the biggest thing. Just let yourself feel sad. Let yourself feel anxious. Let yourself have that time of, like, you know what? I can't move for an hour. I'm going to take my little time out so that I can recharge for the rest of the day, or for the morning, or whatever it is. It's okay. And also, I think too, my brother said this, and I think he hit it on the head. It is really depressing right now. And especially for anybody else, anybody who has a pre-existing, you know, anxiety or depression or any kind of mental health issue. And to find one thing, just one piece that's like a joy in the day, whether it be seeing a robin or a cardinal outside your window or whatever it is. And if you can't find that, then how can you make that one little piece of joy? And it might be finding a half-eaten bag of peanut butter M&Ms in the pantry, and you don't share them with anybody. You know, like, whatever it is, find that one piece of joy, and that can boost you into the next day.
Not sharing peanut butter M&Ms is pretty much daily life for me, so that's no different. You did bring up something that I want to reiterate, and I did talk about it on No Fear Friday. I think it was number 8 that I just posted, when somebody is struggling, I talked about the, hey, don't tell them not to, like, you shouldn't fear, you shouldn't do this, or you shouldn't be concerned. That's bad. It's also, I know we think it's great to tell somebody, hey, you're awesome. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all. Instead though, tell them they're awesome and then ask them the question, what can I do to help? And sometimes they'll just need an ear. But sometimes they're going to say, look, if you could do X, Y, and Z, it would really help me. And I think that's a question we just need to get better at asking each other, is what can I do to help, versus giving advice immediately or being negative is definitely not the way. But the message behind that simple question is huge for a lot of people. And just knowing that somebody's willing to ask that question, I could tell you it makes a huge boost in somebody's demeanor, and sometimes it can actually lift them out of the fog and get them to start thinking in a different way than what they're in at that moment in time. So that's a really good point. All right.
Awesome. Well, thank you for doing what you're doing, because I think this helps too. I think it helps. I mean, like I said, I listened to your podcast this morning, and it was like, oh, this is what so many people are feeling. It's just this overwhelming, oh my God. And so I think just having this forum and having this outlet, I think it is really important.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate it. Thanks so much for your time and your expertise behind all this. It's going to mean a lot to a lot of people.
Well, thank you.
What an incredible talk with Rhonda. I'm looking forward to following up with her in the future about this topic and to get her take on how we handled this situation. Before we wrap up episode 8, I want to thank our Patreon supporters. You make the group and show possible. A special thank you to our producers, the Money, Motivation, and Motherhood podcast, Dava Sylvia, and the Endurance for Everyone podcast. The support of all our patrons during this trying time is very humbling. Please be sure to subscribe to the No Fear Project on your favorite podcast app, and consider leaving a rating and review in Apple Podcasts. It really does help people find the show. Finally, remember, the way forward is together. The time to conquer is now.
Thank you for listening to the No Fear Project, Original music is from Josh and Dean. Join us on social media by searching The No Fear Project on Facebook and Instagram. Check out thenofearproject.com for more information, including in-person presentations on fear customized for your organization. The No Fear Project is committed to helping those with mental illness get help and to defeating the stigma. If you have any thoughts of harming yourself or suicide, please contact the Suicide Prevention Hotline for help now at 800-273-8255. Remember, you are not alone. The No Fear Project is a production of Paragon Media, all rights reserved.